Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 is where we are going to take our scriptures from. When you find that, if you would please stand. I am going to read all 23 verses. I'm going to try to not make it laborious, but we're going to cover these verses here tonight. So Romans chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, and he might be Lord, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For you shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin." I'm going to ask my Father if he would lead us in a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, we humble our hearts and bow our heads in your presence. Having heard this great scripture read, may we open our understanding. May you open our understanding to understand exactly what he's getting at. May we not be an offense, but a stepping stone to help others to get to you. We ask you to bless the speaker that he might impart to us those things that he has placed in his heart and his mind by the aid of the Holy Spirit to present them to us in an acceptable way. We ask again that you direct us in your will and in your way. Forgive us our sins, save the lost among us. We give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Y'all may be seated. So I have a question for you. I'm going to start out tonight. How many of y'all are strong in the faith? How many of you are stronger than the person sitting next to you in the faith? You know, that's a question that I battle with. How many, am I stronger than the person next to me in the faith? You know, each and every one of us thinks that we're better than somebody else, right? We think that what we do is better than someone else. Sometimes, I'm wrong. And I'm not better than somebody else. And most of the time, I'm wrong. No, all the time, I'm wrong. I'm never better than anybody else. But here's the thing. Sometimes we picture ourselves as being so much stronger in the faith, in Scripture, than what somebody else is. Now, a new believer, compared to Brother Doug, can I use you as an example? Somebody that
just found out that they are a sinner and just accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I would say Brother Doug is probably stronger than the faith, than that person is. So, now let me ask you this. If that being the case, is Brother Doug supposed to look at them and say, huh, you're wrong. You're just doing it all wrong. Is that what he's supposed to do? Or is he supposed to disciple that person and help them along? That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to look at our faith that we have and say we are so much holier and mightier than you are because we have known Jesus for so much longer. But we do. We do. If we sit and we take a hard look at ourselves, I find myself in that position. And I know that you will too. And the Bible tells us here, it says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. Folks, there's got to be a help here for stronger and weaker. We need to disciple. We need to teach people. The stronger believer needs to grow in love. We need to take that part that says we're better and get rid of it. And the weaker believer needs to grow in knowledge to find out exactly what the faith really is. Romans 4:20 through 21, it says this, and I love this. This is kind of a paraphrase of what it says. But it says, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God, but was fully convinced and strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't make himself out to be any better than else. He gave all the honor and glory to God. His faith was strengthened because of God. His faith was strengthened because that's where he placed it in God. He didn't place it in what he had. He didn't place it in anything else. Here's the thing, if we're going to help weaker believers along, we're going to disciple them, there's got to be some kind of trust. And if you're always negative with people, what kind of trust do you have? What kind of trust would that person be? If Brother Doug was negative with me all the time, he said, I can use you as an example. If he was negative with me all the time, how much do you think I would trust him? You're exactly right. And that's just like with a young believer. Older believers, if we're negative and we don't help them along, there is no trust. There is nothing there. And it tells us here, what we hold true and what they're talking about customs as we go down through here, what we hold is our strong beliefs, not to hammer somebody with it, teach them, edify them. All right. So there's got to be some trust there. Who are we to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. You know, I'm fully convinced about what I believe. I'm fully convinced on why I believe it. We have a series going on at Tech right now. It's a great series. There's been 2 weeks, all right? 2 weeks. And the school has brought this along and given us an opportunity to tell about our faith. Now, Brother Michael and some others went with me, Brother Ken, when I went, and I told what I believed, what the church believed. I got asked some pretty good questions by somebody that wouldn't let me answer them. But here's the thing. I didn't look at him and shut him down. I didn't argue with him. Tried my best not to. Hopefully I didn't. Tried my best not to. But I know where I stand. And I want to share that faith. I want to tell people about that faith. And I don't want to back away from it. But if I'm going to share my faith, people have got to... I've got to let people know that it's done in love. Okay? So, I am fully convinced, but that doesn't mean that I'm a browbeater and beating them over the head with it. All right? Verse 7, it says, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. You see, we have a commitment to what we believe, right? Everybody in here, you believe something. Whether you're willing to stand up in a public forum and say it or not, you're committed and you believe something. I pray and hope that it's the gospel that you believe. that you believe what the Word of God says, and that you stand on that, and everything that you believe in your heart, everything that you've fashioned about faith, and everything that you're living for is based on the truth and not something you've made up. But we've got to understand here that if we live to the Lord, understanding that what we do and how we do it, it's never about us. That's a problem. It's never about us. Everything that we do, it doesn't matter what it is in life, this life is about one. And you're not Him. What we do is all about God. When we walk through these doors, nothing on this stage is about us. Nothing in this pews are about us. If we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Everything that you do should be honoring and glorifying unto God. Verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, if your brother is grieved because of what you do, you are no longer walking in love. And he says this a couple of times. Do not destroy with your food, do not destroy with what you do, the one whom Christ died. See, we get stuck so hard in what we are fully convinced in. When you tell somebody, and I've been guilty of it myself, I've had conversations with people about faith. And I get so wrapped up in what I believe. I get so wrapped up in how ferocious I am about talking about it. I get so wrapped up in not using the right tone and not using the right facial expression. You ever talk to somebody and their face is just mean and angry? You stop listening to them real quick, right? I get wrapped up in that sometimes. And I can remember when I worked at UACCM, I had a conversation with one of the maintenance folks about God. He left that conversation farther away from God than what he was when I started it, because of how I went with it. I was so convinced that what I was saying was correct, and I still am, but the way I did it was wrong. So it wasn't that he wasn't a believer. It was what I did pushed him farther away from me and maybe pushed him farther away from God. And Paul says here, do not destroy with what you do for the one whom Christ died. He says back up here in verse 5, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Paul was convinced. I'm convinced. But that commitment of being convinced does not need to be one that's not with love. We all have strong convictions about our faith. Every one of us. We're going to continue to read here. And it says in verse 16, therefore do not let your good be spoken as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. He who serves Christ in these things are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Man, I have so much joy in what Christ did for me. Sometimes I don't show it. Sometimes the peace that I have gets a little tainted. And I get a little crazy. And my peaceful intentions become angry ones. And my righteousness, you know what? My righteousness doesn't come from me. It comes from God. And if I have what God has given me, then I should be able to keep my peace under control. And I should be able to keep my joy, not from overflowing, but keep my joy so everybody else can have it and see it. I have strong convictions about my faith. But in verse 19 it says, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And he follows it with this, do not destroy the work of God. And I see so many times that where do I fall in here? Where does my life actually land on that part of do not destroy the work of God? Is what I'm doing destroying His work? Or is what I'm doing edifying? And I pray that more days than not, it's edifying. Romans 14 is very hard for me. Because sometimes I get caught up in man, I don't really like the way we did things. I can remember when I worked at Bud Creek Baptist Church Camp. Y'all all know where Bud Creek is. If you don't know, it's a great place. You need to go one day. But I can remember when I worked there and there was a church group that came in. Man, I've never been so aggravated, so angry, so disappointed in Christians in my entire life. I have a bad problem with shooting off my mouth, and I let people know that I wasn't very appreciative. I got up and walked out of the service. I didn't yell at anybody in the service. I told Brad Roberts how much I didn't like what was going on. It's funny how it changed just a little bit. How now that what happened there doesn't really bother me. Because I've learned. I've learned that it needs to be edifying. And if what my tradition is wrong, and what their tradition is right, that's what I hold. Doesn't mean that they were against the truth. They were worshiping and praising God. They were doing things that I didn't grow up doing in WK's church. Probably some of y'all didn't grow up doing some of those either. But we've come to realize that just because we didn't do it then, but we do it now, we're still honoring and glorifying God, right? We're still following the Scripture. We're still loving. We're still doing all those things that we're supposed to do because it's not about us. It's about Him. There are a few things that I see here. That there's questions that non-believers and even young believers will ask when they see us. And one of them is, can I trust you? Can I trust you to disciple me? Can I trust you to lead me in a path? Or do I have to watch everything that you do and pick out the parts I like? Because you're doing the parts that you like, and it may not be necessarily what God tells you to do. So can I trust you? Are you committed? Well, yes, I'm committed. I'm committed to the faith. I'm committed to the walk. I'm committed to... But is it my version? Or is it God's version? So they ask, are you committed? And the biggest thing they're going to ask is, do you care? Do you care? Not necessarily about them individually, but do you care enough about what God tells you to do? That's what you're going to live by. And if God says, do not destroy the work of God and the things you're doing, don't destroy the work of God and the things you're doing. Do this. Pursue the things which make peace and the things by which one may edify another. I give you a chance right now. Turn to the person to your right and left and give them a big smile. Simple edification. Simple smile. Did they smile back at you? Yeah, because it's silly. All right? It's silly. It's something we forget to do. But edifying each other doesn't mean that you have to build them up on a pedestal. Show them the love of God in everything that you do. Bring them along. Don't let the things that you hold so dear that may not be in the Scripture, that are just so fast and hard. Don't let those things mess up a good chance to edify somebody. Tonight, if you don't know anything about edifying anybody, if you don't know about love, and you might find yourself as you're one of those non-believers that has questions about, can I trust you? Or are you really committed? Do you really care? Then tonight I'm going to invite you to come. and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As Brother Dale comes, and we have a verse of invitation. But tonight, if you find yourself and you've kind of been stuck right there, and you haven't found where you've edified anybody in the past day, in the past week, in the past year, well, here's an opportunity for you to get your heart right, to find that, Lord, maybe what I'm doing, maybe not exactly how I'm doing it, but maybe what I'm doing, it's not bringing honor and glory to you. And I have to do that to myself all the time, to look and see, what am I doing, Lord, that's bringing honor and glory to you. Tonight's your chance. Tonight's an opportunity for you to, as Brother Wade likes to say, do business with God. Kind of like that myself. Always a good opportunity to come to the Father and ask His help, ask His forgiveness, and ask Him to come into your heart to be your Savior. You stand, please. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for allowing us to come to You in prayer. And Father, we thank You for giving us such a glorious Scripture that we can look and we can see that, Father, it is about You. And if we have Your love in our hearts, we need to share it. We need to share it in a way that will be honor and glorifying to You. Father, we love You and we praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.